Today's episode is brought to you by the Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience, or DAX for short. Look, this is the DAX co-pilot.
Isn't he cute? I love his little hat.
I do. He's great. And this is AI-powered ambient technology that helps physicians be more efficient and reduce clinical documentation burden that's driving so much burnout. To learn more about how DAX Copilot can help restore the joy of practicing medicine, stick around after the episode or visit nuance.com/discoverDAX. Discover DAX. That's nuance.com/discoverDAX.
Knock, knock, hi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Knock Knock Eye with me, Dr. Glockenflecken. This is your one-stop shop for all things eyeballs. Take a different topic, a different eyeball thing, and talk about it every day. We're doing something a little bit different today, though. I have a guest with me. This is very exciting, a very exciting guest, someone I've known for a couple of years now on the internet. This is our first time meeting. Her name is Maureen Johnson. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Maureen. So she is in 2009, she was voted the most interesting Twitter user to follow by Mashable Open Web Awards. Did you know you won that award? Were you aware of that? It's in your Wikipedia, by the way, Maureen.
Is it? My Wikipedia is really long. It's really weird.
I was reading through it. You've done a lot. You keep writing. You've written a lot of things.
It's relentless. It's also what you do if you have no other skills. Like I don't get to go to the OR. They don't let me in there. I try. Believe me, I try. I said, get out of here.
What would you do in the OR? What would the first thing, if you walked into an operating room, what would be the first thing you did?
Well, listen, my mother is a nurse.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And she was a nursing professor. She was always boss nurse.
Oh.
So I grew up like sitting and playing on the floor of the nurse's residence, or the nurses would come over and study. So it was always nursing, nursing, nursing.
Yeah.
And she still talks to me sometimes like, I know what the hell she's talking about. She's like, what's a cardiologist going to do about that? I don't know.
Jesus humor.
I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. Like, we always had a hemostat in the kitchen. I was shocked to find out that was a medical tool.
I don't even have like surgery tools in the, that's a good idea though. I should just leave those lying around, spark up some conversation with the kids.
They're great. They are great kitchen tools.
Hemostats could be very useful for a lot of things. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. They're great for removing those rings around the cartons of milk. That's what I thought they were for.
I've never gotten rid of those rings. I just leave them on and then recycle it later.
Yeah, you can pull those off. You can do lots of stuff with a hemostat.
Good to know.
I'm teaching you.
I'm about to teach you something. So we are going to get into an eyeball thing, but a couple of...
Sure.
So first, I went back and looked at our first interaction on Twitter. That's how I know you.
Yeah.
We follow each other on back when it was Twitter. And so I went back a ways. So this is March 31st, 2022.
Wow.
I sent you a direct message. Actually, I sent you your own tweet where you said, apparently, I really messed up my eye on the plant and have to go back into the eye doctor.
Yeah.
Just another day I rue that Dr. Glockenflecken does not practice in New York City.
Yeah, it's true.
What happened?
I injured my eyes twice. Okay. I live in the middle of New York City.
I can hear the sirens. Yeah. I can hear the sirens. Yes.
Yeah. I live in Manhattan in like... If you look around, you look out my window and go, boy, what day is it? Like they do in Christmas Carol. And it's all hospitals and all people in scrubs look up at you and go, what? And that's where I live. So that's great. But that also means that during COVID, we were at like the beating heart center of like a lot of badness. Like
yeah.
It was really like truly, I don't want to get into the ins and outs, but it was bad.
Right.
So day, I don't know, 10 of COVID, my sort of puppy dog is just really excited about what's going on. And she dive bombs me. She jumps into bed. She slides like a baseball slide. And her nail goes direct into my eye. Like, it's like I opened my eyes and the first thing I saw was a dog sliding at me. It was like, foomp, right into the eye.
I see a lot of fingernail injuries to the eye. It's a common one. It's bad.
And I was like, look. But it was COVID. And I called the doctor and he said, you really have to come in. I was like, look, I'm not doing that. So we're going to have to figure this one out. And just kind of...
You did okay. You survived.
Did okay. A year later, almost to the day. Almost to the day, I was watering. I have too many plants. I was watering a snake plant, which has these very stiff, high leaves with that twist at the end. They're almost little points. And I put them in the shower because I'm sad and I live in New York. So I put all my plants in the shower to make them think that I want them to feel what rain is like. I feel bad for them. So I put
You're a very
them in
empathetic
shower.
Person. You know that.
And they get in the shower. I want you to have an experience. And then I went to pick it up and I bent over and that thing went directly into the zoomed right into the eye.
Man.
Yeah.
You got
same
bad,
injury.
That's bad luck. That's is the same eye, different eye?
Different eye. I think.
I'm glad you're able to. I'm glad you have vision still. That's frightening.
They both hurt a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's. And so I talked to you about that back in the day. I had to go back and remind myself. I was like, oh yeah, you hurt yourself with a plant. And since then, we've talked about a variety of different things. And I want to give you a lot of credit here because you are the reason that the Jonathan prayer candle exists.
I was passionate about this.
tell the people.
I was as soon because I watch your videos, even though I am not a doctor. I just so you know, there are a lot of not of doctor us out there watching because it's interesting. Like it's always just
is it
interesting.
Too is it too inside baseball?
No.
Sometimes I'm afraid that it's like I use too much jargon and all that stuff.
It may partially be due to the growing up with all the nurses around. So it you know just knowing that. What kind of doctors do what. I'm always excited when I know what they do. I'm like, that's a kidney doctor. And then you feel really proud of yourself. Like, I did a thing. But it's interesting. But I think it's always important to know how doctors feel.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, you go in and y'all seem so smart. You know what I mean? You go in, you're like, look at all the stuff you can do and all the things they let you do. And you can cut people open and move things
We're
around.
We're smart about very specific things.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's it. So tell me, so how did you come up with or think that this Jonathan, my loyal scribe, that we needed to pray to him?
Right. He is just, he's a real icon. and just, I like a inspirational candle. Other people have had them as part of their merch.
Yeah.
That's a popular kind of book merch
I never
thing.
Would have, oh, is it? Because I never would have thought about that. I never would have thought about it, but it's our bestseller. Like by far.
Yeah, I have a Stevie Nicks one.
Okay. All right.
I've had a Judy Blume one in the past. Like people give them to me constantly. Like at one time I had about 12. So I know, and I know that everybody that say they're going off to medical school or they're going to take a test, I'm like, this would be a nice gift to sit there and see Jonathan just smiling at you. Cause he imparts confidence. You know what I mean?
Good.
When Jonathan smiles, I'm like, I feel like I can do that because Jonathan is smiling.
Gives you a little head nod to like, keep going. You can
do
this.
I need to know something. Why do you get a scribe and not other doctors?
So
why are you so special?
So ophthalmologists are not the only ones that use scribes. Scribes are seen in cardiology and emergency medicine. It's, you got to pay for them, but a lot of times, especially in like high, fast paced environments, like outpatient medicine where we're seeing 40, 50
Best
patients a day.
Eyes.
Yeah. Like you got to see a lot of patients or emergency medicine where you're seeing a lot of patients. You can actually see more patients and have a more meaningful interactions with patients if you're not documenting.
Right.
So like I could sit there and like literally look at my patient and talk with them for 3 minutes. And it feels like I've talked to them for like 20.
Right.
Because I don't have to type anything. The scribe's over there doing it.
Right.
Now, like some specialties, some clinics, they don't want to pay for it. They can't afford them or something. So I'm very fortunate that I'm in a situation where we can have scribes. So I do feel bad for people that like that haven't experienced the joy
of having a scribe
of a Jonathan. So, but as far as the Jonathan prayer candle goes, I have very few hate emails about that. So it's really a home run. It's great. Just a couple people that I was like, that is so sacrilegious. What are you doing?
It's a candle.
So the other, we got to get into our eyeball stuff here because people are like, come on, let's do
just
what?
Get to the art.
I want to get to the eyeballs. But one last thing is I just want to plug your Truly Devious series. So you've done a lot of, is it exclusively young adult fiction that you write?
For now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, you've done a lot of that. I tweeted this out. Not too long ago, I bought my 12-year-old the first book of the Truly Devious series and gave it to her. And she could not have cared less. Like it was like,
that's what I'm going for.
Whatever. So I know you know this story. I took the book. I was like, I was so excited because I know this. And I was like, do you know that I know who wrote this? I've actually had conversations with this author. Nothing. And so I took the book that she had, ruthlessly discarded into a pile, and I put it on her bookshelf in her room.
Sorry. It really is always like this.
That's okay. And I put it on a bookshelf in her room, and then like 2 or 3 months later, sure enough, I find her reading it, and she like reads it for 2 days straight, and then she just the other day she came and she put the book in front of me. It's like, get me the next one.
Thank you there so you much. Go.
Devious series. Everybody, if you have like a young adult in the house, I don't know what that means. Someone who is in the at least 12 years old range.
Right. And that you're supposed to have, not one, like also check your walls. Just make sure that there's not just one hasn't gotten in. Or anything
that's
like
right.
That.
Yeah. Check it out. It's fantastic. All right. So we're going to get into your eyeball problem. The reason I wanted you to come on is because you told the world, I'm not like forcing you to divulge your medical information here.
I don't care. I'll tell
anything. you have an eyeball problem, and it's fascinating. And so let's talk about it. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get into it. Hey, everybody. Old news, but good news. We're coming back to the Irvine Improv on Sunday, March 24th for our show, Wife and Death.
That's right. We're going to talk about the time you died.
And came back to life.
It'll be a tragicomic, multimedia, memoir, stage show extravaganza.
And some of my characters might show up, too. You'll just have to come and check it out and see for yourself. To buy tickets, click the link in the description below, or you can visit glockenflecken.com/live. We'll see you there. All right. We are back with Maureen Johnson. All right. So, Maureen, tell us. To start from the beginning, tell us when your eye issue started.
I can first off say that I have excellent vision and generally, aside from poking myself with snake plants and dogs, have never had eye issues ever. So I've always been used to extremely, extremely clear vision. And
it's a lofty place to start from. Right
yeah,
there.
That's right? Where I begin with this. I was editing a book. I was sitting there. It was just a couple of days after Christmas. I was on a heavy deadline. And I was looking at the screen. I was down at my parents' house and I was working away, like it was real long days. And then I just, there's something in my eye. Must have gotten an eyelash in my eye. Wow, there is really something in my eye because everything from on the left eye, and I believe is towards the nose, about that third or half of that eye was very fuzzy. Mm-hmm. So I went in to the mom, the nurse, and I said, can you see if there's something in my eye? Because it really seems like there is. She looked, she even flushed it. She's like, I don't see anything. I said, it'll go away. It never did go away. It never stopped. It never got worse. It never got better. It doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. So I went to the eye doctor where they put me in many interesting machines.
This was something in your vision, right? Yes. You were seeing this. But when someone looked at your physical eye, they couldn't see anything there.
Correct.
So this is something you were seeing when you look at things in your
yes, and it's a field, not a spot. It's like I'm looking through a frosted pane of glass.
Could you, if I were to give you like a sheet of graph paper or something, or just a piece of paper, would you be able to draw the shape of this area?
No, it's more of a field. It's just
so it's
more
a large part of your vision. Okay.
It's about half or a third of the eye.
Gotcha. What about when you look straight at something? Like if you're like looking at me right now, is it my face? Is it off to the side of my head?
It's your face.
My face.
It's okay. Sometimes when I look far off, it's not as bad. But reading is very hard. Hmm. And sometimes screens are very hard.
And this is just one eye.
Just one eye, just the left eye. And it never changes in any way.
Has it gotten better over the last couple months? All right. So you go into the eye doctor.
Yes.
First of all, how difficult was it to get an appointment?
I call, because I live near the NYU complex, there's a large eye center. And sometimes you call and you say, hey, I got a thing. Please, can I see whoever has an appointment? And my actual eye doctor, who I only see on occasion, that would have taken about 3 months.
Gotcha.
So I said, can I just go in and see somebody? And it turns out I think I got a retinal specialist.
Oh, that's good. That's exactly who you needed to see.
Yes. I think they fit me in She looked exhausted. She looked exhausted. And at one point she was running down the hall, yelling to somebody about her schedule and how they'd done something terrible to her. So I felt really bad.
You have any idea how many patients they see? Like, I think I see a lot. I see maybe like 40 patients a day. Our retina specialist will commonly see 70, 80 patients a day.
She looked like she was about to cry.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I also think she was pregnant and maybe about to give birth at any second. Like, she looked
tired.
Had a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. So you come in to make her day worse.
Yes. And I always say, I'm sorry. That's the first thing I do when I go into a doctor. I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. Look, I know you don't need this. I know you don't need me. They test me. They put me on all the machines because it's a large center. Right. All the machines. They look, they go, nya.
Yeah, they took pictures.
Many pictures.
The whirring of the machines and looking at the little man and the little thing. Like, they tell you to focus on certain areas. And
yeah,
they snap
lots
pictures.
Of machines with dots and green wobbly things. And then I think the resident must have come in and looked.
Oh, yeah, the resident. Then, wonderful.
Yes, poor knock knock. And then she came
Bill.
In.
Bill, the resident.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we can't see anything.
So this was the attending now. This is the boss, the pregnant, stressed lady.
Okay. Yes. And so, they went through everything with me, and then they started asking me a series of questions. Hmm. Did I have a cold recently or take cold medicine? No. Hmm. Do I use cocaine? No. Then they said, do I drink a lot of coffee? And I said,
because you were on a deadline.
I was on a deadline and I was doing a lot of, like, there was a lot of personal stuff. I was taking care of my family. I was doing so many things that I had just ratcheted it up to about maybe 6 cups a day. Like, I was pounding.
Okay.
And that was recent. That was probably within that last month that I was just, because we had to go to England to see my husband's family. And so I was doing all of this stuff and I was just trying to stay awake.
Any recent illnesses? Like cold, COVID, flu, nothing?
Nope.
Okay.
Mike, I had COVID for the first time in January of last year.
So when you raise your hand, you're like, yes, I am a terrible caffeine abuser. Yep. Was that like, oh, is that what the reaction you got? Yeah, that's it.
She turned to the resident and said, I think she's the candidate for this acute macular neuropathy.
Neuroretinopathy.
Yeah,
we call it AMN, acute macular neuroretinopathy.
Yes.
So acute, and that is what obviously happens quickly. Macular is the place in the eye, the part, the anatomical structure that it affects, and the neuroretinopathy. Well, it's affecting the nerve fibers and the retina, and so it's kind of a catch-all term. So, so that's what you were given. That's the diagnosis you were given. And then what happened after you were diagnosed?
Well, they said, we can't see it on the photographs, but if it happens again, please come back immediately so we can take an image of it, is what I was told.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then I was told to just sort of like, well, good luck with your thing. Like, there was nothing really that anybody told me to do about it. And I've been kind of wandering in the world ever since with this big foggy pain of vision going, well, I'm not really sure what to do now. I'm not even sure if they know that that's what it is, but that was their best guess.
Right. And they were like, this really no treatment for it.
Right.
Right. Okay. Did you leave feeling confused? Were you angry? Were you disappointed? Were you content? I'm curious.
I was kind of neutral. I'm very rarely angry leaving a doctor. I sort of think it through, call the nurse mother, run the words by her. always check with the nurse.
Yep. The nurse mother. I like that. Okay. Well,
she is boss of me. She's a nurse practitioner. She is like always everybody's boss. So she's like, okay, what did they say?
Well, you want me to tell you what I know about this disease?
Please tell me everything.
Let's talk about it. So, acute macular neuroretinopathy, it's pretty rare. It's, in fact, I remember in all of my years, I sound like I've been doing this, for 20 plus years, but I've been in practice for 8 years now. And I've seen one patient with this. And so you do fit the profile. I will say that. It's most commonly seen in women in their third decade of life, roughly. Okay. So we saw a lot of people in the 30s. I guess that'd be fourth decade. What depending on, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't, you know, someone in the 30s, basically. So much more common in young women. And then you have this sudden vision change, just like you noticed. Typically, it's the sign that you see is what we call a paracentral scotoma. So a scotoma is an area of your vision that you're missing. So if we were to map out your visual field, which we do this, mm-hmm. In fact, if you haven't had an automated visual field, you could have that done, where you hit a button when you see a light and it maps out your entire peripheral vision and your central vision. And so if the light comes on in a place where you have no vision, you won't see it. And then it'll map out that area. And so with AMN, often people will have a paracentral scotoma, which means it's not right dead center in your vision, maybe a little bit off. So yours is a part of your vision. It sounds like it actually might be affecting more of your central vision. But so usually it's close to the center of your vision, but maybe not quite dead center. Still, obviously close enough to the center that it really bothers you, right? It's noticeable. And so you can have one or multiple of these. The underlying etiology for, you're going to love this answer, for why this happens, we don't totally know.
Cool.
Right? Isn't that great to hear? Don't you want to hear that from a doctor? Oh, we don't know why this happened. Hey, you know, that happened to me with my cardiac arrest, actually.
Really?
The cardiac arrest, I had all the testing, nothing came up, and they were like, I don't know. It's always hard to hear that, right? You want to have an explanation. It was actually a double-edged sword a little bit, because like on the one hand, you don't have some like devastating, life-threatening thing that's going to kill you in 5 years, right? But on the other hand, like, well, you don't know why it happened. So it's like, you know, my heart's fine, but which is great, but I don't know why it happened and could it happen again? So that, it's always hard to hear that as a patient, right? And so we don't totally know exactly why, we have guesses. So let me tell you what the current guesses are. Mm-hmm. We know it's got to be something vascular. So the retina, including the macula where this is occurring, has this network of capillaries throughout. And what we think happens is there's some kind of thing that happens that puts stress on those capillary networks. And temporarily, it happens very quickly, those you just lose blood flow for one reason or the other. You lose blood flow, which causes a part of the retina to, for lack of a better description, like die off,
yeah.
Right? It's not functional anymore. And you get this scotoma, this area of vision you're not seeing. Now, why might you lose blood flow? Well, the reason the caffeine thing is because that's a sympathomimetic. It kind of, you know, can raise your blood pressure a bit because it's a stimulant. And so, you know, you're pounding caffeine, you're trying to reach your deadline, and the little blood vessels in your retina is like screaming at you. Like, slow down, Maureen. What do you, like, do you really need all this caffeine? It's kind of getting hard to function over here. So that's the theory of what happens with and why caffeine is a risk factor for this disease. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Does it matter at all that my blood pressure is usually quite low?
It's actually not a one-to-one relationship between blood flow to the eye and blood pressure.
Okay.
We just know caffeine is a sympathetic stimulator. So, you know, and so it's, and the other thing with these little tiny capillaries is they don't auto-regulate very well. A lot of your blood vessels will auto-regulate. You know, if your blood pressure's too high, your vasculature will adjust to protect the organs, right? Or if your blood pressure's too low, maybe the vessels will constrict a little bit to try to push blood into the organs. So you have this auto-regulation that's constantly happening throughout your body. Well, this is one area where those vessels don't have autoregulation. So if there's any kind of insult to it, any kind of major issue, they don't have the ability to protect themselves or the tissue that blood perfuses.
They have no coping strategy.
They don't cope well. They don't, yeah. They're not very resilient. They need some resiliency training.
Just starts crying. Just immediately.
Exactly. So there's other things, though. It's not just caffeine. Like there was a recent, I think it was about a year ago, a case series of patients who had COVID. And I mean, there's a ton we don't know about COVID, right? There's all kinds of reports about, you know, the way it affects your vasculature. But the idea, but patients came in with, after having a COVID infection, they had this acute macular neuroretinopathy. And so there's probably some vascular issue there. People who take oral contraceptive pills, that's another risk factor. People obviously with clotting disorders, like they clot too much, obviously that can be a risk factor. So there's all kinds of things. Pregnant people can, you know, we see this in like preeclampsia, some pregnancy related issues. So there's a lot of things that can cause this. For you, it just so happened to be the caffeine.
It was the only thing on the list of things that applied to me.
I'm sure they asked you a ton of questions, right?
Yeah.
Like all,
about 10,
all the
I think not 8-10 things that they asked about.
That's a lot of questions for an ophthalmologist to ask. Because it's only eyeballs for us. And so,
right.
You know, we exhaust our questions pretty quickly. So it's when, if your ophthalmologist asked you more than like 5 questions, something's going on.
Yeah, they asked a number of questions.
And so And the all the pictures you got, they were taken pretty in depth. Did they show you the pictures they took of you?
They're probably in my NYU record. But.
Yeah, one of the coolest things about ophthalmology is all the imaging that we can get. So we can actually take pictures of, I guess, like we know this is happening in the macula in the retina. We can actually take cross sectional images of every single layer of the retina, and we can see the areas of inflammation, the areas of lack of perfusion that are classic in this disease. And so there's a very characteristic, what we call a petaloid, because it looks like petals on a flower, a pattern to the affected retina. So it has a classic appearance. And so the diagnosis itself is relatively straightforward to come to, which is why you were able to be diagnosed that day, which is great.
So I guess I would ask you then, but what does one do with it?
good question. So unfortunately, this is another thing you're going to love to hear. Like there's no,
I've already heard it.
Yeah. There's no treatment for this.
Right. You get used to it. Your brain figures it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So the good news here's the good news.
Please give me good news.
Yes. The good news is that you'll lead a normal life.
Disagree,
like
but for different reasons.
from a vision standpoint.
Okay, great.
Like you, this won't, long-term, it won't limit you. Like you might not be able to be a fighter pilot. I hope that's not in your list of hobbies that you potentially might enjoy. That might be out of the question. Other than that, you can do, you know, everything that you need to do. The brain has this remarkable ability to neuroadapt. It really does. It's the same reason why people who have really extensive floaters. Do you have floaters in your eye?
I've had one or two.
Yeah, some people have really extensive floaters. They can last for a while, but eventually the brain will kind of learn to filter them out and just don't notice it as much. Now, the great thing is you have one eye that's completely normal.
Right.
Right. And so your brain will just, you know, it'll focus. I don't want to say focus because it's not really a focusing thing, but it'll pay more attention to that eye versus your other eye. Yeah. You'll notice if you cover one eye and look with your bad eye, like, oh, there it is. But then over time, just doing your normal binocular vision, it's not even going to occur to you after a while because it's just going to be your new normal.
I'm kind of getting used to it. It's sort of like I'm trying, because obviously my job requires a lot of reading.
Right.
And a lot of staring at screens. And I was in a very heavy period of that. So it was, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day. And I was like, how the hell do I see? I was leaning in. I was doing this. I was just doing all kinds of moves. I was like, maybe if I move this closer, make this bigger. No, it doesn't like big. It's like I'm trying to read through a ghost, you know, a little bit.
Right.
Like I'm just trying to see through a cloud.
Right. And that cloud doesn't move. It's always right there, same place.
Sometimes I perceive it as a little bit bigger, and sometimes it seems to read a little bit smaller, but that has to do with light levels and colors,
right.
I guess.
And, in the natural kind of history of like, the, I guess the prognosis of this is we don't ever see full complete resolution of this spot you have in your vision. I want to say spot, but it's this field, what you describe as a field. But there is some improvement over time that we usually see. All right. So I would not expect it to ever be completely normal, to completely go away, but maybe a little bit of improvement over time.
I think it's also important if you have any kind of medical issue, just to try to put a positive spin on it. I've had some issues in the past and I just always try to think positive. So I'm trying to think of this as like my eye is there's a ghost. It's haunted. It's like I have a haunted lighthouse for an eye. And there's just a little foggy. And I'm like, that's my foggy cloud that I have to see through.
I love it. It's you're writing your next book, right? Just
It's a little, my whole body and soul wants me to see this year that we're going to all live together through a little bit of a soft focus.
There you go.
It's
I love that.
If a little misty, put a little romantic mistiness over the whole thing. Nice.
It's good.
When you think about it, anything can be made pleasant.
I admire your positivity and your optimism. I think that's fantastic because it's not easy, right? I mean, like you said, you've had perfect vision all your life. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you have to deal with this and it's a big change and you're only at the beginning of this, right? It's been a couple months.
Yeah. It's been about a month and a half.
And so, you know, just give yourself time and you're going to have good vision going forward, and you'll be able to write all the weird ghost lighthouse keeper stories that you want.
I got to get all these. So I probably shouldn't have called all these ambulances for this.
that's right. Preemptive ambulance.
I'm a patient, and I think a lot of patients maybe have this attitude that, you know, this is all very wonderful stuff. Look at, like, you walk in, look at this building full of, like, this wonderful, all of these people that have worked so hard that came in here today to try to help everybody. And look at all these great machines that are doing all this cool work. And I wonder what that does. That seems nice. And that, it just seems like a real positive place to me. So, you know, I get real excited when I see medical people doing their job. I'm like, hey, that's great. It's great you know how to do that. Thanks for doing that. That's really awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah,
that's how I've always felt. I've really felt like, wow, this is a hard job and you seem really good at it. And this must be tiring. So thanks for showing up and we'll figure it out.
We do our best and I've had difficult conversations with patients, you know, about obviously vision is very important. And so, you see all the equipment and the technology and stuff. But in the end, it's still, for a lot of patients, especially those with major eye problems, it's the relationships, you know, that really stick with you. And so telling someone they've lost all their vision or they're going blind or, you know, that's never easy, but it's so nice to have someone with a positive outlook on life like you do.
I just think it's just great. You know, there's so many things are sort of being found out all the time and
Maybe with
someone
this
like
disease.
You, that like you went down there and like, I want to go and help people and learn all this stuff. And I'm learning about eyes, even though they're weird and gushy and
they're very strange.
Why is it when you rub your eyes, sometimes it makes that real squishy sound like,
it's because it's a mucous membrane.
Oh, gross. That's awesome.
It's a mucous membrane. Wow, there's all kinds of mucus in there. Yeah.
So you sat up one day in college and said, I'm just wanting to really get into mucous membranes.
Oh, actually it was very late in med school. I went to med school. I didn't know what kind of doctor I wanted to be.
Right.
I knew I wanted to be a doctor. Like it was cool. I liked science. And what else was I going to do? That was kind of part of it for me.
Right.
And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm kind of a weirdo. I like eyeballs, you know, that's half the battle right there. If you don't think eyeballs are gross, like what else should you be? Like, I honestly, like that's half the battle. So anyway, well, I thank you so much for sharing. I think that was hopefully enlightening for everyone. And so it's really thank you for going into that.
No, and if you're a doctor or nurse listening to this, thank you for doing it. And I hope all your patients are nice to you, and they should be, and they should bring you cookies. They should bring you cookies and say something nice to you. Sometimes I show up and I'm like, here, I went to Venero's, the Italian cookie place. Have some cookies. Thank you.
That's the place I got to go next time I'm in New York. I was in New York recently, and I didn't get to all the places I wanted to go to, but including meet you. I messaged you.
I was in Mexico.
Let's get together. Let's meet. And you were in Mexico. So
I was in Mexico. I was literally doing the thing that they make fun of writers for doing, where you're like literally somewhere and you're like, I'm finishing a book on a beach. Yes, I was. I was being that person. I was at a big writer's retreat with like 10 other novelists.
That sounds amazing.
I don't know. And it's great. Listen, my job, I have a real cushy job and I'm real thankful for it.
So we always, before we go, I always have to do a don't do that eyeball tip of the week.
Okay, great.
And so I think we probably know exactly what our don't do that eyeball tip of the week is this week. Maybe like a little bit of moderation with the caffeine use. You think that's a good tip? Is that possible?
Disagree. Look, I have a tip. Hold on. You know what I use to water the plants now?
Oh, look. She just pulled out some really nice safety glasses.
$3 safety goggles.
So you don't do that, Apple. How about this? How about don't water your plants without safety glasses
Look,
protection.
It sounds silly, but they will get you.
It's true. It's true. I've seen plants get a lot of people. Mole plants is a big one.
Yeah, the doctor's like, yeah.
The euphorbia, yeah. Euphorbia plants. They have this milky white substance, gets in your eyes. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. So yeah, be careful of plants. They can really get you.
Yeah, wear some safety goggles and there you don't go. Drink too much caffeine. Because obviously the way I just described it to people is I drank so much coffee, my eye exploded.
That's the great thing about your own health issues. You can describe it any way you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, make it sound interesting. I love it.
I drank so much coffee, I see ghosts.
Well, again, thanks so much for joining us. That was fascinating. And I'll have to have you come on for a Knock Knock High episode with me and my wife. We can talk about pharma and all the
I have a great story about some weird stuff that happened to me when I used to do presentations, and it involves tigers and famous comedians and Cirque du Soleil and pyrotechnics.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, we're bringing you back next time.
One ex-president, a very famous comedian, live tigers, pyrotechnics, and Cirque du Soleil.
Oh shit, amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds like an incredible story. All right.
When you have a stupid job like mine, you've done a lot of stupid things to make money along the way.
Well, you're coming back. Wait, is that okay? Can we just guarantee people that you're going
to
come back and talk with us?
I want to tell you guys about the big pharma thing where I had to deal with tigers.
I think everybody wants to hear that. All right. Well, that's it for Knock Knock Eye. Thank you so much to Maureen Johnson. Go check out her books, by the way. Like, really fantastic. And you always have a book coming out. I feel like
I have a new one coming out in August called Death at Morning House. I was working on it when my eye exploded.
is this part of the Truly Devious series different?
It's a new standalone. It's a standalone mystery. So
awesome.
Cut back on that coffee.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thanks, Maureen. And thank you all for joining us. That's the episode for today. Thank you to our producers, Rob Goldman, Shanti Brook, and Aaron Corney. Thank you to our editor-engineer, Jason Portizo, and our music is by Omer Ben-Zvi. And let us know what you thought of the episode. Do you have an interesting eye thing? Maybe I should throw completely blast out that I want people to tell me their eye problems. They can if they want. But if you have a suggestion, I always like hearing stories, right? So if you have stories about your own eye conditions, let me know topics you want me to talk about. I'm all ears and eyes, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.
Knock, knock, goodbye.